This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, it's a Friday.
Hey.
Hey. That's all I have for you.
I lost money last night. Hey.
So did I. What a night for hockey, though. What a night for sports, for wrapping yourself in the flag. It was last night was a fun night to be a sports fan, aside from the outcome. And aside from the fact that Matthew Tkachuk might miss some time now with the Panthers. But other than that, it was a great night. It really was. Because I know you had the under and USA in a parlay. I bet Team USA. And it was, I mean, I wasn't betting Canada. I'll tell you that right now. So I rode with the old Stars and Stripes. Didn't work out well, but it was a great game. You go to overtime, like everyone's into it. It was just fun. Last night, there are, you know, every now and then in sports, nights where I was reading something today, BetMGM and trying to think of one of the other sites, ESPN Bet, and I think DraftKings or FanDuel was their biggest night of wagering in hockey ever. And you're talking, wow. Just people being excited the way you get for a Super Bowl or whatever. So really just a cool night. You wish you got the dub, but a really cool night.
It's lined up perfectly for me. Under 5.5 goals, going to overtime, 2-2, next goal wins, I win. We get 75 shots on goal in the first 8 seconds of overtime. And then the other shot started on the other side of the ice, but it was exciting. It was exciting.
USA had so many chances there at the end. Like it was heartbreaking, but great tournament. And the NHL, I am sure is thrilled. We're going to talk today, by the way, with George Richards, who covers the Panthers. I'm curious what he thinks. Huge hockey fan, but also this could have ramifications on the Panthers, depending on how much time Matthew Tkachuk has to miss.
Yeah.
But George Richards is going to join us today. Clay Ferraro is going to join us today. I want to talk some Heat with him. Lee Sterling's got a couple of picks that he wants to share with us for this coming weekend. Heat are back in action tonight. They had all last week off, and they're in Toronto tonight. So we're kind of, we're back. Heat tonight, Panthers tomorrow, spring training tomorrow, Marlins and Cardinals tomorrow at Roger Dean Stadium. I will be there, diggity dog. Very excited. Lord. Telling you, very excited. I read something from Ira Winderman today regarding the Heat in the Sun Sentinel. Somebody emailed him for the Ask Ira column, and it says, I know the Heat have to end their losing streak. Remember, they're on a 4-game losing streak going into the break, and two of those losses were brutal because they were winning at the end, going into the fourth quarter and just coughed it up. But the guy emails in, and he says, I know the Heat have to end their losing streak, but isn't the most important game on this trip Sunday in Milwaukee? Remember, they're in Toronto tonight. The Bucks have shown they're just an average team in the East playoff race this season. And if the Heat can't beat them, then what are we doing here? I think they should take note of that game and then decide what to do next. Now, I don't know that there is a decision on what to do next. I'll read you what Iris says, but I mean, you kind of had your opportunity for next when the trade deadline was got. Like, that was the time to kind of determine if you were going to just obliterate the whole thing, which the Heat don't do.
Or are we going to throw in the towel and just say, hey, no more games for us? Like, no. So,
this is what Ira says. He says, I've seen this perspective voiced on several platforms as if there was an impending decision on whether the Heat should tank or go for the playoffs. However, that's not the Heat way. No matter what happens on this three-game trip, while accepting they need to win at least two, and honestly, all three, the Heat way has been simply to try and find a way to dig out of any hole with all these upcoming games at home after this brutal road stretch. Perhaps that will provide some relief. They should win tonight in Toronto. I understand the emailer's point. If you do want to get in the conversation about something, now, I temper all this. I think I said it yesterday. I temper all this with, I'm not expecting anything from the Heat in the second half of the season. I don't think Andrew Wiggins has added anything to the mix. I don't know what's going on with Terry Rozier. Obviously, Tyler Hero is playing well, playing the All-Star game, won the three-point contest. I think the highlight of the Heat season will be Tyler Hero winning the three-point contest. Mm-hmm. But I guess you can use the next three road games as a little bit of a barometer as to where things stand. Because remember what Spo said at the end of, what was the loss heading into the break? It wasn't OKC. It was the game after OKC. Forget who it was.
Dallas?
Was it Dallas?
He was Dallas.
Like, we've got to get this thing fixed and fixed quickly. I remember coming on the next day and saying, hey, like, they are in need of this All-Star break, and they need to figure things out. And you'll get an idea, I guess, tonight on what he's taken to the drawing board.
But that's what is the drawing board. They're not bringing anybody else in. They're not finding a G Leaguer and giving them a 10-day contract to change things. It's going to be adjusting the lineups. It's going to be Spo being the, you know, X and O guy that we know him as. And let me tell you a secret, Texter. They're going to be right around 500 all season. Couple games under, couple games over. That's where they're going to be. That's what team they are. They're going to beat a team they're not supposed to. They're going to lose to a team they're not supposed to, because that's what average teams do, and that's what they are.
That's kind of what I'm expecting for the second half of the season. So if I get something different on the upside, I'll be thrilled. And if I get something different on the downside, it's not going to surprise me too much. But I feel like they're a play-in team. I mean, listen, you lose Jimmy Butler, you get worse. You can say whatever you want about Jimmy and the way he went out. You lose Jimmy Butler, you get worse. And so they're, in my opinion, a worse team than when they started the season. And now, you know, you start the second half tonight and you'll see what the season holds. But I'm not expecting too much.
Let's see. Davion Mitchell figuring out the offense isn't going to send us to the four seed.
So today's a Friday. It's not a football Friday, although I guess the UFL is starting at some point. Isn't it? I'm not even joking. Doesn't that start up at some point?
You haven't seen commercials, so no.
But I read an article about it the other day that, like, where the championship game is being held. Like, it was a big deal. Like, they announced where the UFL.
I thought they played everything in Birmingham, Alabama.
Nah, that was a few seasons ago with that was like the USFL or the XFL.
USFL.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, what is it? Did The Rock waste his money up like I told him he was?
Yeah, because he merged the two. But that has to be started soon, right?
I was about to say, because I've heard nothing. I've seen no commercials. So he just spent a bunch of money, merged them, and then said, yeah, this is not going to work. Like I told him. Dwayne.
First game is on the 28th of March.
Oh, so we still got about a month before football is back. Who do you like in the UFL this season, Jimmy?
I'll have to go with the St. Louis Battlehawks.
Ah, the Battlehawks. I was thinking the same thing.
Me too.
Is that a real team?
I have no idea.
Yes, it is.
It is. I don't know what team.
You think there's a
league?
Single person listening to us right now who follows the UFL?
No.
I mean, we have thousands of listeners.
Maybe some
of
kids.
A single person.
A lot of athletes in South Florida.
Follows the UFL.
Yeah. Somebody's parents have to be. Like, we have a talented player from South Florida that made a UFL team, and their parents follow that team.
Text it in. 305-567-0560. Is there a single person out there who follows the UFL and is excited about the upcoming UFL season?
Some guy that went to Western Kentucky from Pompano somewhere, and yeah, he's on the team.
He's probably right. There's probably someone who's like, yeah, trying to hang on to some sort of dream of playing professional football and is playing for the Battle Hawks, and the guy knows the roster up and down. Now I'm curious. Hold on. Now I'm curious about this UFL.
Terrell Buckley's a coach. It's just once we start getting the UFL, weird names come back up in my mind. I'm like, oh, he coaches?
Is Terrell Buckley a coach?
I know he was in one of them leagues. One of those 8 football leagues that's been folded since the last couple years.
Schedule. League schedule. Yeah, March 28th, it says, is the first game. The St. Louis Battlehawks against the Houston Roughnecks.
Rivalry.
San Antonio Brahmas against the Arlington Renegades. Oh, that's the next day. What are they? They play like one game a day? What's going on here?
They play 2 on the 30th.
Oh, yeah. 2 games on the 30th. The Michigan Panthers and the Memphis Showboats.
Ooh.
And the Birmingham Stallions and the DC Defenders. Man. What could the ratings possibly be?
Arlington Renegade, Bob Stoops.
Yeah, Bob Stoops.
Skip Holtz is the Stallions.
Bob Stoops is the head coach?
Yeah, from national championship to – I think he was runner-up last year in the championship game.
Wade Phillips coaches the Brahmas.
No. Get out of here.
I told you, man, it always surprises me how they pull these guys out and make them head coaches every single time they do this league.
Oh, it's funny. So the UFL is broken into 2 conferences, the USFL conference and the XFL conference.
Hmm.
So when they merge the 2, now it's 1, but they have their own conferences.
Oh, you're going to love this. Your boy Bruce Gradkowski.
That's our friend. He's a friend of the show.
Offensive coordinator for the Battlehawks.
Couldn't even get a head coach. He's a coordinator.
No, but Anthony Beck got that one.
That's funny. That's our guy.
I know a lot of these.
Gradkowski. That's our guy.
They have a lot of ex-ball players on their coaching staff. I'm looking through them now.
Crowder.
Yeah, talk to your friend The Rock.
Crowder. You're a defensive coordinator.
Doug Martin, Carnell Lake. Yeah, man. This is an underachieving NFL roster here.
Say the least.
Ken Wisenhunt coaches Memphis. Man,
oh, really?
Yeah.
I remember Ken Wisenhunt.
Oh, Wizzy?
Yeah.
Like a who's who game.
They're just going to local alehouses and finding guys. Just watching football.
Like how much do you think? Big. Didn't Wade Phillips coach the Cowboys?
The Bills, the Cowboys?
Yeah. Wade has success.
I know. How much do you think Wade Phillips could be making as a head coach of a UFL football team?
I have no point of reference, but I could say it couldn't be over $100,000.
Yeah, I was thinking $75,000. That in my head, and I have no point of reference, but I was like $75,000. Maybe
I was gonna say $200,000, not $200.
What? But again, I keep using the reference. It's like Jason Taylor, where JT jumped into coaching, and I tell y'all, Jason Taylor doesn't need any money. He just wants to coach football.
Right, but he's with a, premier college program like that. That I get, or if you do it locally where you live, but like Wade Phillips to go from coaching the NFL teams to what team is he coach? Birmingham? Who cares? I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Let's not get into the minutia.
Let's get headlines. I don't know. Who cares?
Get back to this
website. Get headlines with Dan Day, brought to you by Doral Hyundai. Choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models inventory, like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. And remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai.
I'm going to start doing that to my kids, asking a question and immediately yelling, who cares?
Who cares? What are you talking about?
Oh, Connor McDavid hit the walk-off game-winning goal last night to lift Canada in overtime past the United States in the Four Nations face-off 3-2. The Panthers are back in action tomorrow at 6 against the Seattle Kraken. Matthew Tkachuk and Brandon Montour very questionable for that game.
Few people texting in that they gambled on that garbage because of our show last year. You're welcome. And somebody says he's got a UFL fantasy football league.
Oh.
And if we want to join, we're more than welcome to.
I'm good. What's I'm busy.
What's the buy-in? A stick of spearmint gum and peppermint?
And juicy fruit.
I mean, we've outlawed U-porn, but we're still allowing UFL fantasy. I think someone's got this backwards, this anthem.
A lot more excitement on that front end.
Ooh, former Cane Jonathan Feliciano has retired. The O-lineman played 4 years at the U and 10 years in the NFL.
Yeah, Cane's legend.
Mm-hmm. Canes basketball team hosts Virginia Tech. That is tomorrow at 6.
How'd the Canes women's team do against Notre Dame yesterday?
Ooh, you really want to know?
Yeah.
Ooh, it was 82-42. And I didn't even tell you Notre Dame won, but they did.
No, well, I mean, they're number one in the nation. I was just wondering if there was going to be a little bit of a fight, but they doubled the score, essentially.
Is that a moral victory?
They both were playing the same amount of ladies?
Same amount of minutes?
Was it a power play?
Oh, actually, now that you say, Carson Beck was at the game.
Whoa.
Because obviously his girlfriend plays.
Well,
my guy, Sheldon Smith, from WSVN 7, who I maintain is the most ferocious reporter on the planet. And then the way he tells the story, you feel as if it's the most important story that's ever happened in the world of news.
Yep.
I got to show you this video of Sheldon Smith at the Watsco Center last night. He tracks down Carson Beck, who's watching the game. It's in the middle of the game. You never see this. And he just comes up to him with a camera and a microphone. He's like, do you want to comment about the Lamborghini and the Mercedes that were stolen from you? And he's like, no, I'm just here. I'm just watching the game. I'm not, you know, and you hear all the action. And then, you know, the way Sheldon Smith narrates it, we asked him several times if he wanted to comment about but he only wanted to watch. It's such a great story. It is so perfectly Sheldon Smith. I love that dude.
His sign-offs are deep.
He is like, right? You feel like you're watching the most important story that's ever taken place in local news.
Third row. Between
it is. You kind of see him, like walking up to him, like he sees him in the crowd. And he's like, yeah, it's like, what do you want him to say? Yeah, my car's got stolen. Like, what on earth is he gonna say? Like, there's not. Yeah, I'm pissed. My car's got stolen.
Like, Sheldon went. He's not scared of that story. I like it.
Sheldon is not scared of anyone. Like, there's some of the craziest stuff that goes on South Beach. Like, stuff you would flee. Like, you see it going on or the person who's perpetrating it or whatever, and you just get the hell out. Sheldon Smith runs towards that action.
I just got stabbed.
That's what it's like, yeah. That's what it's like.
Well, they do have a suspect in custody for Carson Beck's car robberies.
Oh, is it Sheldon Fox? Everyone's texting me. It's Sheldon Fox.
Fox. You know what? I should have corrected. I knew it wasn't Smith.
Yeah. Sheldon Smith. Who the hell is Sheldon Smith?
I think
the guy
I don't know.
The deli down the corner.
Last time you talked about him, I thought you were talking about Sheldon Richardson. We're all mixed up. Sheldon Fox.
The Heat do kick off that three-game road trip in Toronto tonight at 7:30. Then, of the next 20 games, 15 are going to be home games. So that's some hope if you are a Heat fan.
Yeah, you can hear the Heat game here tonight on this station.
On to weather from the Nemesmond Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7 at 866-954-MORE. It is overcast with temperatures in the mid-70s. Going to drop down to the mid-60s tonight with a slight chance of rain. That's your weather.
There's a few storytellers in news, like Keith Morrison from Dateline, for me, is like, you know, he's the guy that's like, and you thought that was the end of the story, but it wasn't. It, like, his delivery is so great. I put Sheldon Fox up there with Keith Morrison. That's how good I think Sheldon Fox is at telling a story, because it doesn't matter what the story is. Like, he, his voice and his narration and his tenacity, it makes the story important, whether it is or isn't.
That's what I was going to say. It's Dateline's easy to make it important because that's an important story.
Right.
Sheldon can make a parade at a high school sound like Dateline. Right.
Yes. Yeah. He's got a gift. I don't know why they're wasting him on a local newscast. That guy should absolutely be doing national news stories because he's riveting. Anyway, George Richards from Florida Hockey Now is going to join us in the next segment.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Crowder, did you find your tooth?
Hawk and Crowder.
We are.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Endeavoring to get George Richards on the line so we can talk some hockey with him. In the meantime, though, I can tell you that the betting handle was huge. The television ratings will come out at some point soon and we'll be able to know. But my guess is everyone, here's my gauge on like a sporting event and hockey specifically. When my text threads are blowing up throughout the game, like that happens during Dolphins games because everyone you know on your threads is watching Dolphins games. And then for usually like, you know, playoffs or big championship events, my text threads were blowing up last night on every goal, every moment. It was pretty wild to me to see what was going on with hockey. And again, we've said it this week several times, it's kind of a wake-up call maybe for some of the other leagues. I'm not saying that All-Star Week has to be as important as the NHL made theirs, but there was, I think, a little bit of a wake-up call to the other leagues going, hey, something's going on with hockey players and the way that they're, you know, representing the league and the sport and their teams.
Did you see Stephen A. and P.K. Subban yesterday before the game?
I did.
I think, like, it's crazy because, like, what P.K. Subban was saying made a lot of sense. The whole thought was, like, you're playing hockey. Go play hockey. Like, go play intense. Go try to win and that. And they were kind of almost saying, like, the hockey players look at this differently than other sporting leagues. So, to your point, Hawk, let's say they could get it in the NBA thing. It's isn't exactly what they try to do or very similar. The OGs versus the international guys versus the young guys versus to have different teams and try to make it important. And then you watch the game and you're like, this is not the basketball that I know can be played. Where hockey players go out there and they really work their ass off every single time the puck hits the ice. I don't know if you can duplicate that, Hawk, because it has to do with the guys on the ice, the guys on the court, the guys on the field.
Well, I also wonder, though, if there's something there when you're always the fourth sport when you talk about the four major sports. When you're always the fourth sport, you always seem to be playing from behind with the others. Maybe you have this sense of pride in your sport. Like, yeah, I want more eyeballs on it. Maybe you don't have that kind of intensity if you're an NBA player because you guys are the kings. Like, you're making millions upon millions of dollars. Baseball, your contracts are guaranteed. Football is the king of all sports. So maybe it has to do with being an underdog, kind of.
The underdog mentality, I'm with you on that. Well, I don't know if there's no analytics or bullet points for this argument. We're around Sean Thornton a lot because he works with the team. So I always see Sean at games and just talk with him. We know Randy Moeller. Like, they're just different humans.
They really are.
Hockey players are, and football players like the Barbarians, we're on the gridiron and all. I know thousands of football players. I know about a dozen hockey players, and their minds work different. It's if we're about to throw rocks at each other, I'm going to knock your eye out. Hey, why would you just hit me in the leg? No. Like, their minds are different. I think to get to that level of hockey, your mind has to be a little off.
Yeah, they're just cut from a different cloth. I wonder, did you see, speaking of playing from behind, and I told you I'm going to spring training tomorrow, and I get excited every year. When Major League Baseball starts up again, I get excited for spring training. It doesn't mean that I have high hopes for the Marlins. Certain times you go, oh, yeah, this could be the year. I don't have much of a hope for the Marlins. Doesn't mean I don't enjoy baseball. I like baseball. I like having it on. I don't know if you saw yesterday, but ESPN and Major League Baseball are ending their relationship after this season. They had 3 years left after this season on their broadcast rights deal, and they have mutually agreed to end it. And I wonder, I think football and basketball are firmly entrenched. Like, young people love it. My son loves the NBA. I love football more than any of the sports. I wonder if hockey and baseball are trying to reimagine and redefine themselves. We know with baseball, they did the pitch clock a couple seasons ago. Hockey, I think, has done a very good job. To me, this was the icing on the cake last night. I wonder what that means for the rest of the season, if there's more eyeballs on the sport. Certainly, I think a lot of people's names are more recognizable than ever before. Like, I think Matthew Tkachuk, probably the Tkachuk brothers, have some cachet all of a sudden across the country as hockey stars, where I'm not certain a ton of people knew them before this tournament, but I think this tournament elevated them. But I wonder if hockey and baseball are the two sports that are kind of going through identity crises, and hockey seems to have done it, and baseball maybe is next.
Oh, yeah. And hockey's way more exciting than baseball because it's offense to defense to offense to defense to offense. It's, you know, the basketball on ice goes on both sides. You know, like, I could see hockey overtaking baseball easily. Baseball has a large following, and they have so many damn games and so many damn teams that you have that built-in fan base. But it's getting to a point, and I'm to your point about reimagining or, you know, refocusing. I'm watching way more hockey now than I'm watching baseball.
Yeah.
And my son loves baseball, but I watch baseball to go to sleep. Baseball is my Ambien.
Baseball's background stuff for most people. It's background stuff where you keep the TV on or the radio on. You hear baseball, and there's something about it that's comforting. But hockey, you don't want to miss a minute of the action. You know, baseball, I love being at the ballpark. It's why I'm going tomorrow. Like, I like being at the ballpark. There's something that cannot be replicated at any sport doing that. But hockey, I think for younger people, hockey, MLS, actually, now that I think about it, MLS might be more popular than baseball with younger people.
Oh, I don't know.
With Messi, I mean, you're talking about the world's biggest star of the sport playing in MLS.
I know, like, I think the Messi story is cool, but MLS overall, like, it's just Messi's Florida team and the rest of them boys. They played New York FC or something. You know anybody on that team? Do you care?
Well, I don't, but I'm not a young person that I'm talking. Like, I'm not, I don't think 55-year-old men are gravitating towards MLS. I think young people are.
I don't know, because I'm around kids. You know, I was coaching and all. The love of soccer, I think that's a small sect of the United States. I know worldwide it's stupid, and I know that would be Solana's point if he was here today. Worldwide, soccer's stupid. I don't think the U.S. is coming around like people want to act like it is to soccer.
I don't know. Interesting. Anyway, we'll take a break here. We'll see if we can find George Richards, and we'll be able to talk some hockey if we can. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more Hockman and Crowder.
You're listening to the Hockman Crowder Show.
Thank you, as always, Jax.
Stay black.
All right.
Hockman and Crowder.
We have made contact with George Richards from Florida Hockey Now. He was at the press conference for the Seattle Kraken head coach. And so he was running late. So we'll just have him on at the top of the hour. We'll have him on at 3 o'clock so we don't have to try to jam him in right now. Somebody texted in because I was saying that I'm going to the Marlins spring training opener tomorrow. Somebody texted in, Hawk, your kind of people are the reason Bruce Sherman does what he does to the Marlins. In other words, I still go to games so he can field a team with low payroll. Listen, they draw about 4,000 or 5,000 people a game during regular season. It'll be exciting at the opening of the season, as any opening season is. I'm sure the first weekend. I know the opening day for actual Marlins season, Dan Marino is throwing out the first pitch. There's who's performing after the game, Jimmy? Is it what's his name? Luis Fonsi? Am I saying it right? And there's a post-game concert. I know there's two recognizable acts, but like they'll dress it up. They'll do a couple promo nights during the season that'll do well. The Barbie jerseys, the Flanagans nights. But trust me, like Bruce Sherman is not able to have a very low payroll because 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000 people are going to most Marlins games. Like,
no, Huck. He's just you and Lori.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a big... He's got an asset that's worth over $1 billion. So the daily or yearly cash flow may not be great. He's got an asset that will allow him to cash out whenever he wants to of a lot of money. And it has nothing to do with the ballpark, you know, 5,000 people going or like he knows. Bruce Sherman, he knows what the public thinks about the way they've operated the team. I don't think that's a secret to him. It's not like he looks in the stands and goes, you know what? People really like what I've done with this Marlins club. Like he knows, he hears it. He's got limitations that he's got to deal with, but he knows what's going on. I don't think baseball fans going to games is prolonging anyone's agony.
No, I heard this isn't mine. I'm stealing this from somebody. Sound like Solana now, but there's people that treat their team like their baby, and there's people that treat a team like an asset. And he's an asset guy. Like he's a
money maker
guy.
I don't think he has the money though to treat it just like how he wants. Like I just don't think he's one of the wealthiest owners in the league. And unfortunately, in a league with no salary cap, that's what happens when you've got people who have billions and billions of FU money. And they can throw as much at their team as they want with no ramification because there's no salary cap. And then you've got a guy who doesn't have that kind of money. I'm not telling you he's poor, but he doesn't have that kind of money. Like, it's an unfair advantage. Baseball's kind of ruined in that way because of the salary cap, the lack of.
The other end of the spectrum is Steinbrenner, the Yankees, mm-hmm. where who you want? How many guys we need? We need Giancarlo and Aaron Judge. Okay, no problem.
The Dodgers, what the Dodgers are doing. I mean, the Dodgers are spending more money in a season than the Marlins will spend in five seasons on talent.
Yeah.
So,
and the thing is, if I believe if the NFL didn't have a salary cap, I think Stephen Ross would Steinbrenner the Dolphins.
100%. 100%. That guy, money is not an object. But Jerry Jones would do the same thing, I think, as well.
Jerry.
He plays it differently because he waited till the last minute, but he's got more money than he knows what to do with most of those NFL owners.
It's that way, though. With all leagues, there's the stupid rich owners and then just the rich owners, wealthy guys, and then just, like you say, FU money owners where, oh, a billion? Yeah, well, it'll take me like 11 months to make that back. Huh? Excuse me?
Right. In interest. I don't even have to do anything. All right, we'll take a break here. 3 o'clock hour's coming up. We'll talk with George Richards. Lee Sterling is going to join us in the 3 o'clock hour as well.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Mitchell Trubisky, if you are listening, would you like to meet me at Flanagan's tonight on Federal Highway in Boca?
Hawk and Crowder.